Is this on? Is it on now? Do I unmute it?
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Thank you. Well, past couple weeks I was preparing and you know, praying and meditating, and I was going to preach on compassion. So I felt like compassion was something that I really need and something I really lacked at. But yesterday, as I was going through my notes and preparing for today, the Lord gave me a change of mind. And I'm going to preach on this nation. This nation that's one nation under God.
Amen.
In Deuteronomy 8, 7 through 20, it says, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths, a spring out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, and vines and fig trees, and pomegranates, a land of oil olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, and thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keep in his commandments, and his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at that latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and thy might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember thy Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore unto thy fathers, as this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish." In the final verse, verse 20, "As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because ye would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God." When I say compassion, I was thinking, and I have, if many of you don't know, served in the military. I'm very compassionate about our nation. And we do live in the land of God's blessings. In verse 7 it says, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land." And these passages here are about the Israelites and the promised land. And I'm going to use these passages to illustrate, for illustrations for the United States of America, and how prevalent this is to us whom live in this nation. This nation was built by godly men, which is quickly being destroyed by the ungodly, wicked men of today. America is drifting far away from God. Here's a small list of evidence of America's shift away from God and from the gospel. People have become rude, violent, mad. There's an abundant amount of vulgar music, rampant profanity. Everyone is sleeping with everyone. People are shacking up for a couple years before they decide to get married. There is no more two-parent households. Nothing but sex and violence on television, movies, and video games. And lest I forget, abortion on demand. There is no prayer or biblical reading allowed in classrooms. Only the talk of whatever you want to be. The sky is the limit. Teachers and children shows telling young ones to follow their hearts. And may I say, following your heart is very wicked. And your heart wants you to disobey. We have workplaces that will fire you on the spot just for saying or mentioning Jesus' name. Then they conform to and bend over backwards to please someone else's request to praise a false little g god. There's no more humility in this nation. Holding doors for someone is a thing of the past. Saying thank you for a good deed is a thing of the past. We have an education lottery system that only benefits the state. And an education system that's failing our children. And these things only scratch the surface. Well, may I ask, how will our nation fall? Well, by continuing in our ways and by forgetting God. I want to give you three ways that we forget God. A. We become prosperous and forget the source of our blessings. Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 17 says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, in not keeping his commandments, and his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the houses of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no waters, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." We say, look at this house of mine. Look at this nice new car of mine. Look at these clothes that I'm wearing. They're mine. Look at this great paying job of mine. Look at this beautiful wife and healthy children of mine. I give all the glory to myself, my hard work, that 55-hour work week I pulled last week. That's all me. No. We should be saying, this house God has gave me. This nice new car God has gave me. This clean, comfortable clothes God has given me. This great paying job God has gave me. And the strength to work 55 hours last week, God gave it to me. This beautiful wife and six healthy children, God has graciously given it to me. And glory be to God. We take advantage of our health until God takes it away. We pridefully show off our things and give no mention to God. This life is a vapor, and I can't take anything with me. Job 1:20 through 21 says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, 'Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.'" That nice house, that nice car, that good paying job, the 55 hours God allowed you to work can be taken in a split second. Last year I spent 8 days in the hospital because a little nick on my elbow. Just a little nick. A couple days later, come up as it. I just popped it. Didn't think nothing of it. God put me in the hospital like that. I had a fever I couldn't get rid of. Stuffed bags of ice all around me for days. It's easy to take for granted what we have. When we become prosperous and forget the source of our blessings. What's other ways we forget God? B. Parents fail to transfer their faith and knowledge of God to their children. In Judges 2, 10 through 14, you can turn there if you want, just a couple chapters. Give me a chance to wet the palate. Judges 2, verse 10, says, "And also all the generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods." Notice that's little g gods. "Of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. And he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so they could not any longer stand before their enemies." You know, young men are readying their garden right now. How many of us here are readying our gardens? Well, we're doing that through the knowledge passed down from our fathers. Young women that have children, we have some really good mothers. That knowledge was passed down from a good mom. Young men and women that are driving now or learning to drive. Must be in the bathroom. But with the knowledge that was passed down from their parents, they're learning to drive. You know, some are great cooks, carpenters, truck drivers, mechanics. And it's because they had a loved one who passed down the knowledge. Just like these examples here, there are great Christians who have made a difference in this world because they had a parent or a loved one who took the time to pass down their knowledge. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 7. It's just a couple pages back. Chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt take of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We, as parents, it's our duty. And our children and our grandchildren need to be taught in the way of the Lord. It's our responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility to raise and teach our kids. It's not the schoolhouse's responsibility to teach and raise our kids. It's the parents' responsibility to teach and raise our children. This nation, which is a wonderful nation, its future is based on our children and our children's children and how they're raised. You know, parents are failing to transfer their faith and knowledge of God to their children. Ways we forget God. Letter number C. I always wanted to say that. The sinful nature of mankind naturally gravitates towards evil. In Deuteronomy 9 through 17, we're doing a lot of flipping. When I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone. Now this is Moses. Even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you. Then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water. And the Lord delivered unto me 2 tables of stone, written with the finger of God. And on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount of the midst of the fire and in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the 2 tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, get thee down quickly from hence. For thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten image. Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone that I may destroy them, and blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make thee of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. So I turned and came down from the mount, and the mount burned with fire, and the two tables of the covenant were in my two hands. And I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord hath commanded you. And I took the two tables and cast them out of my two hands and break them before your eyes. Just like the Israelites, we have turned from God's word. And we are trying to worship everything and anything. You know, a preacher said this morning, I don't know if it was in Sunday school or during a preaching hour. A lot of it runs together for me. But he said this morning, you'll find something to worship, whether it's in a bank account or at home. And I can say that's true. You know, we'll worship what's easy. We'll worship big screens in the house and little screens in our pocket. We'll worship ourselves and our possessions just as the golden calf. We have forgotten that this nation was built on godly principles and with Christ as the head of our nation. We forgot that the pilgrims came here seeking religious freedoms. You know, that got me wondering. So I have some quotes that I wrote down from some founding fathers that you may find interesting. John Hancock, he was the first signer of the Declaration of Independence. This is his words. Resistance to tyranny becomes the Christian and social duty of each individual. Continue steadfast and with a proper sense of your dependence on God. Nobly defend those rights which heaven gave. And no man ought to take it from us. Benjamin Franklin, signer of the Declaration of Independence. Here is my creed. I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs it by his providence, that he ought to be worshipped. John Quincy Adams, our sixth president of the United States. The hope of a Christian is inseparable from his faith. Whoever believes in the divine inspiration of the Holy Scriptures must hope that the religion of Jesus shall prevail throughout the earth. Patrick Henry, a ratifier of the U.S. Constitution. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religiousness, but by Christians. Not by religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are just a few of the men that built our nation. And I dare to say, find me some quotes of the men running our nation now. That includes Jesus at all. A lot of people will say God, but there's a lot of gods. There's only one Jesus Christ. When you see somebody on stage and they say, I want to thank God, and they're not specific in who, they're probably not talking about Jesus. In Psalms 9:17, it says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. I don't know about you, but I want the best for this nation and all who live in it. I want to continue to prosper and to grow my family in this country. Well, How do we recover our nation? Look back at Deuteronomy 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and he fed thee with manna, which thou knowest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to fear him. I'm going to give you a couple things here real quick. We observe, this is how we get back to our nation to God. We observe God's word. We remember all of what the Lord has done for us. We humble ourselves. We, therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. We teach our youth and our young ones about Jesus, about the scriptures, about salvation, about repentance and regeneration. We fight our natural sinful nature. We give God the glory for it all and everything in our lives. And we need to pray. And this nation needs to repent, to do a complete 180 degree about face. For some of y'all, that just means turn around. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and to turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will I forgive their sin, and will heal their land. In Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. This nation needs to remember God. And this nation needs revival. Thank you for being here tonight, preacher.